NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. As the number of cases of coronavirus continues to climb in the U.S., so does the outcry from people about the shortage of testing kits. For places that have been successful at slowing the spread of coronavirus, places like South Korea and Singapore, mass testing has been key. Last week, President Trump announced drive-through testing would be made available across the country.
Still, stories have been pouring in from across the U.S. about hospitals and healthcare centers not having access to testing kits at all, or having only a very limited number of tests available. Shortages of equipment and gear have also hamstrung efforts to increase testing. Minnesota and South Dakota both had to halt testing due to shortages of supplies and capacity.
Here in New York City, they've tried to ramp up testing to around 5,000 tests per day, but doctors still report turning hundreds of people away from emergency rooms every day because they don't have enough tests to meet demand. In Seattle, the University of Washington has kept its campus open, though in-person classes have been canceled.
And meanwhile, the campus health center has been totally overloaded with students who are exhibiting coronavirus symptoms, who are immunocompromised and have questions, or who are just scared or wondering about going home to older parents or guardians.
Maya Brissy is a nurse at the health center, and she says she and her coworkers have been dealing with coronavirus testing shortages for weeks.
And the reason for those shortages is really surprising. We talk with Maya after the break.
Support for NPR and the following message come from TransferWise, the smart new way to send and receive money internationally. Join over 6 million customers in 70 countries who are already saving, and try it for free at transferwise.com/NPR or download the app.
Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Was there a moment when, I mean, you work as a nurse on a university campus, I'm sure you're busy all the time. Was there a moment when you started to think, like, this is going to get really big?
Yes, there was. When the announcement was made that the University of Washington was going to stop doing classes in person and doing them online or distance learning, that's when we realized, okay, things are going to change around here.
Is your campus still open?
Our campus is still open. So we are in finals week right now. So the last day of the quarter is this coming Friday. So campus, many of the campus buildings are still open. Hall Health Center is still open. We're considered an essential service, and we are open even if the campus is closed for snow days or anything else. As long as we can be open, we are. And the dorms are currently still open as well, which I'm really happy about because for a lot of our students, that is their home and they can't travel home right now.
Wow. So what have you been seeing since this announcement a couple weeks ago when you realized that things were going to get kind of serious? Like what's happened at your health center?
So what has happened is everyone has started wondering if they themselves have coronavirus. You know, if a little tickle in your throat, it's like, oh my gosh, do I have coronavirus? And lots of people wanting testing, understandably. Right now, we have very limited testing.
What is restricting the tests that you're able to give?
Great question. So one of the things that's restricting it is enough personal protective equipment. And so disposable gown, gloves, surgical face mask, eye protection, and you need to, between each patient, you need to change out your gown and your gloves. Last Friday, we only had 10 gowns. That's only enough to test 10 people. We now have more gowns than that, but we don't, to my knowledge, we don't have a steady supply of that. So we would need to have a steady, consistent supply of personal protective equipment to move forward. And additionally, right now, if I'm triaging a student on the phone and they meet requirement for testing, then I can set up an appointment and bring them in. And right now it's taking I have to make an appointment for them to see a doctor or nurse practitioner for a 40-minute appointment because they have to come inside our building, put a mask on and gloves on, and then the nurse or medical assistant coming up right away in their own mask and gloves and escorting the patient directly back into a room. And then you have, so you're kind of working in a team of two, a nurse who's doing the swabbing and then another healthcare professional who's working as your teammate to ensure that you are donning and doffing your protective equipment correctly and that you're not contaminating anything or contaminating the swab itself. And so it takes more time and effort.
If like money and everything were no object, ideally, like how many tests would you be doing a day? if there were no restrictions yes. on resources or anything.
If there were no restrictions at all, yeah. I would love to be able to work through and test every single student and healthcare worker here in Seattle who is showing any symptoms at all.
And how many are you able to test right now?
Right now? Boy. Well, depends on the gown. So like last Friday, maybe 10 people. We do have more gowns now. I don't know, maybe 20 people a day.
Really?
That's a guess. Yeah.
That's not very many.
No, it's not.
How does it feel to be running up against these kind of like red tape and like gown shortages and things like that?
It's incredibly hard. We're having a really hard time. We spend a lot of time on the phones talking with patients about, I'm sorry, we just can't provide the testing. And, you know, they're having to make some really difficult decisions right now as well. It's really hard.
Have you ever dealt with anything like this before on campus or in your career?
No, not in this kind of scale. A handful of years ago, we had a mumps outbreak on campus, but that was nothing like this, like it is now.
Are you talking with your colleagues about this? Or are you guys all kind of...
Yes, we're in constant communication. You know, I've been talking with, you know, the last few weeks I've been on phone calls with my fellow union members and... leadership from the University of Washington, and just talking to everyone who's working in different hospitals and different clinics, and there's just such a high demand, and no one is able to keep up with it at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm actually home today because I was up half the night with my 11-year-old who was up coughing and vomiting all night long. Yes, and
poor kid.
Yes, he's actually napping right next to me right now. And he was starting to get a fever a little while ago. I'm not sure how he's doing right now.
Does it scare you to be, I don't know, a healthcare worker right now? I just feel like we're hearing all these scary stories. And I don't know, is it scary to be in a job where it is literally your job to sort of put yourself in harm's way in this way?
You know, I don't feel scared. I think I feel frustrated more than scared. Frustrated because, and I can, you know, some of my coworkers feeling the same way, feeling like if we had the resources, we could be doing a lot more for people.
What about you? What are you doing to kind of decompress or, I don't know, to stay sane right now?
That is a good question. I am... doing some meditating. I'm continuing to, I live within a couple of miles of work, so I walk to and from work, and I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons with my kids and my family, and Magic the Gathering, and watching funny movies, and reading books, and just trying to get a good amount of sleep, and eat well, and hang out with my family.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you. I can't thank you enough for talking with me.
You are so welcome. It's been my pleasure.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. Our fact checker is Brittany Cronin. Patty Hirsch is our editor. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Hey, listeners, if you're looking for more news about coronavirus, NPR has a new daily podcast for just that. It's called Coronavirus Daily. It has new episodes every weekday in the late afternoon.